From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Final celebrations in Chile as the last of the 33 miners is hoisted to safety. The BBC's Caroline Hawley says each of the men was embraced by the country's president.
The last miner out, the shift supervisor, Luis Urzúa, was greeted by the president, Sebastián Piñera.
Viva Chile!
Viva!
Viva Chile, mierda!
Viva!
Puro Chile!
The president and the shift foreman then sang the national anthem together. Some of his men, now being treated in hospital, have been diagnosed with minor ailments, and months of psychological counselling lie ahead.
The BBC's Caroline Hawley in Chile. The latest foreclosure numbers show that 288,000 homes were taken back by lenders over the summer months, the most in any quarter since the housing crisis began 4 years ago. The report by research firm Realty Track, whose Rick Sharga says lenders were working through a backlog of distressed properties.
We don't think we'll peak in terms of foreclosure activity until next year, 2011. And that's partly because of this backlog of seriously delinquent loans that are not yet in the pipeline.
But Sharga says the number of new foreclosure filings in the third quarter declined compared to the same period a year ago. Some major lenders are putting the brakes on the foreclosure process while they look into irregularities in documents and other paperwork. President Obama is focusing on young voters this week as he tries to rev up the turnout among Democrats in the upcoming election. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports Mr. Obama will be leading a town hall-style meeting this afternoon on MTV.
Young voters overwhelmingly supported Barack Obama 2 years ago, but they tend to sit out midterm elections. Midterm voters skew older and whiter, which is bad for President Obama and the Democrats. The White House hopes that by encouraging young people to go to the polls in a few weeks, the president might be able to prevent Republicans from taking over Congress. Tonight's town hall meeting is Mr. Obama's third appeal to young voters this week alone. On Sunday, thousands of people attended a rally with President Obama and Vice President Biden in Philadelphia. And on Tuesday, Mr. Obama hosted a town hall meeting at George Washington University, where he took questions from young people via Skype and Twitter. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, The White House.
Human rights activists in Indonesia are celebrating a court decision to nullify a censorship law in the country. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports the law was a relic of decades of authoritarian rule.
The winners in the case were a group of authors whose books had been banned under a 1963 regulation. The regulation allowed the Attorney General's office to ban any books it deemed controversial. Hundreds of books have been banned since then, most of them on politically sensitive topics. Yesterday, Indonesia's Constitutional Court ruled that the law was unconstitutional and violated human rights. It said that books could only be banned through a legal process in court. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Bangkok.
This is NPR News from Washington. Authorities in Pakistan say they have foiled a plot to kill the country's prime minister and other top officials. Investigators say they became aware of the plot while interviewing several suspected militants taken into custody yesterday. The men were seized after a shootout with police in the central part of the country. Police say the men were part of a group blamed for an attack on Pakistan's intelligence agency last year that killed a dozen people. The former head of the government's auto industry task force is reportedly set to pay the Securities and Exchange Commission about $6 million. NPR's Wendy Kaufman says that money is part of a settlement of allegations that he took part in a pay-to-play scheme involving New York's pension fund.
As part of the settlement, Stephen Ratner, who served as the Obama administration's car czar, will be barred temporarily from working in the securities industry. The sanction is part of the SEC settlement that stems from Ratner's work at his private equity firm called Quadrangle. 3 weeks after a Quadrangle-owned company agreed to distribute a low-budget movie co-produced by a former official of the pension fund, the fund invested $100 million with Quadrangle. The official pleaded guilty several months ago, and Quadrangle agreed to pay $12 million to settle with the SEC and New York State. At the time, Ratner refused to settle. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
Hurricane Paula is losing strength, but it's still drenching Cuba with heavy rain. Paula's sustained winds are down to 75 miles an hour. Gale warnings are posted for parts of the northeast this morning. A nor'easter has formed off the coast of North Carolina. That storm expected to bring strong winds and heavy rain to parts of the region through the day. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for